At the UPS store, we know being a small business owner means holiday time is still go time. Still get those orders shipped time. And still re-up on stamps and supplies time. That's why this upcoming holiday, while others close up shop, we'll be open. And happy to help you keep being unstoppable. Come into your local store today. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS store. Be unstoppable.
Thank you for joining Carla's channel podcast. And because this is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, we also have the National Domestic Line posted, and you could take a screenshot of it just in case you need it to pass along to anyone or if you need it for yourself. And just a little bit about myself. I'm a motivational speaker, life coach. I am a registered nurse, a certified doula, and certified CPR instructor. And my goal is to change one person's life at a time, one person at a time. All righty. Now, without further ado, we have our guest speaker for today. And this is Ms. Sarah Swiston. She is a part of the WINGS Program Incorporated. And she is a part of their media and communications department. She is the manager. She has 17 years of experience working in human service nonprofits and has worked at WINGS for nearly 6 years. Let's clap it up for Sarah. Yay. And Sarah, I'm going to turn over the spotlight to you and so that you can take it away. And I will, while I'm switching slides, if you don't mind, just telling us a little bit about yourself. What made you get into this type of work and what has kept you at WINGS?
Great. Well, thanks so much for having me here. I've been with WINGS for almost 6 years. I've always been interested in human service nonprofits, and I've stayed there because the mission is very powerful. So we're focused on ending the cycle of domestic violence. We've been around in January. We'll be recognizing 40 years of service to the community. And so yeah, we have a lot of programs. We have a number of housing programs. And, you know, we started in housing, doing transitional housing, and now we've grown that program to offer rapid rehousing and permit supportive housing because it's so important. It's a crucial piece. We found that the clients that we serve, the transitional housing has been really beneficial because they have that extra time to kind of get on their feet and stabilize. And so, yeah, so it started with housing, and now it's we also do community-based services. So people that maybe they don't need housing, maybe they need counseling or they need mentoring or they would like, you know, we have hospital partnerships. So people come to emergency room and they present, you know, they disclose that they have some abuse. We're able to help them that way.
The hospital piece, that's very interesting.
Yes. Yeah, so with the hospital program, we have wing staff that have office out of there. And so there's three hospitals that we work with in the northwest suburbs of Chicago. And so they will, you know, if they, and then also what the staff does is in addition to doing bedside consultations to people that disclose that they feel unsafe or that they have a situation happening, they also provide ongoing trainings to the medical staff at the hospital. So they know kind of how to screen more adequately and, you know, ask the questions in a way that, you know, sometimes you're like, oh, you feel safe at home, right? Or they ask in front of someone that might be an abuser. So yeah. And the other piece of that that's grown this past year that's breaking news is we received a grant funding to work on a traumatic brain injury collaboration. So we're developing resources and toolkits for medical professionals for best practices. And then built into that collaboration is some funding to help people because if, you know, if they have TBIs, it sometimes it's hard to follow through on like goal plans they might have set up. And so people might think, oh, they're just missing an appointment. Oh, they're dismissing the help we're trying to give them. But it's all about educating medical staff and nonprofit workers as well.
How you said that, because being a nurse myself, and one of the questions that we have to ask people is, do you feel safe in your home? Is there anything unsafe in your home? Or we ask some other like screening questions. You would be surprised, and maybe you wouldn't, maybe the audience would be surprised to know that nurses really have a hard time asking those questions. And it's really unfortunate because sometimes we're missing out on opportunities. So specific services provided. Sarah, talk to us about the family and children services. Oh, no, we didn't talk about the family and children services.
So we do have comprehensive children and family services. We have staff, graduate level staff that work with children that come into our programs. And it used to be they would just serve the families that were staying with us in housing. That was all the capacity that we had. But this last November, so almost a year now, we opened a Foglia Family Resource Center. So now we can provide counseling to adults and children and teens in the community. They don't have to be residing with us. And so we're really excited about that. So they can do individual counseling. We have groups. There's one on grief that we have some, that kids attend. And so it's a really robust program. And then a new direction, it's been started as its own agency area in the city. And so they do a lot of legal advocacy.
The legal advocacy, is that pro bono? Do they charge? How does that work?
Well, so what the staff there that she is not a lawyer. We would like to eventually one day have like a lawyer on staff. But what she does is she works with lawyers in the area and has a rapport with some of them that will take pro bono cases that know about domestic violence. They know how, you know, sometimes because it's about power control. So a lot of times abusers, if they know how to abuse the legal system and the person that they're abusing has been financially abused, you know, they have all the money, they can just keep dragging them into court and that kind of thing. So yeah, it's a resource where we can refer out to people. And the other cool thing that she does there, we have a staff reader there, she will coach people on what to ask with their lawyer time. So she'll tell them all the stuff ahead of time that they should know going into the appointment so they don't waste valuable minutes. You know, the lawyer right. having to explain something that they can go in and just with, you know, certain questions, they don't need all the background.
That is so crucial.
Yeah.
I really like that because just like you said, oftentimes the abuser is the one with the money or the financial means. Yeah. And sometimes the person seeking that legal counsel on things, that is very important. So that's a great service that you all offer. I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah.
So let's get into it. Domestic violence. I do have a couple of questions for the audience as we start to get into it. Audience from all over, if you could put in the chat, what do you think are some forms of domestic violence? Is it only physical, verbal? What do you think some of those things could be? Some of those things that could be part of domestic violence. And it's also called intimate partner violence now, right? And that is, it could be any partner, any type of relationship, an intimate partner relationship. Let's get into it. What is domestic violence? And it is a pattern of abusive behavior to maintain power and control. Okay. All right, Sarah. Types of domestic abuse violence.
Yes. And so, so you can see some of them here. So a lot of people, they jump right away to thinking of physical and the physical abuse, the black eyes, the whatever. That's kind of the picture a lot of people will conjure in their heads. But it can be so, and it, you know, like sometimes it builds to that and that doesn't happen overnight. And there's a lot of other ways that people are things that are domestic violence, sexual abuse, emotional, mental, psychological abuse, financial abuse is a way, a lot of abusers use that. There was one study that like found like 90% of all the cases in the study involve some form of financial abuse, verbal abuse, stalking and cyber stalking. Some people will even use their religion against them. So,
is that like God says you should do what I say, something like that?
Or if, you know, like, you know, you can't leave because we're married and you and maybe their community and their faith community might not understand that they need to leave, you know, so that kind of like using that as a spoke to get them. It's all about maintaining control and not letting them go. And so all that's just another lever they can use to try to make the person feel like, oh, I need to stay in this situation.
Yeah. I understand now. That's so true. I did have a girlfriend and she was a, her husband was a minister and she tried to confide in the head minister and he just blew it off. And, you know, this is what, you know, you're supposed to be a godly woman. God doesn't believe in divorce and things like that. So now I see that picture that you're saying. She mm-hmm. felt very conflicted by it and it held her in that suffering domestic violence for years until she finally was able to break free of that. So I thank you for talking about that. And what about cyber stalking abuse?
Yeah. So, that's again, another way that people will try to, you know, there's people have so much technology now, and so they can see where you've been. They, you know, they can keep tabs on you. So it's just another way to make you feel like, you know, thrown off and unsafe and that kind of thing. So yeah. And then over here, this graphic is one that we commonly use in like a 40-hour training where it shows, you know, how like what it can look like and how it all works to get you to stay. So yeah. And I don't have to get into each of these little pie graphs here, but you know, they'll use children, they'll use isolation, like someone said in the chat, economic abuse. So there's a lot of different things.
Wow. So many things. Okay. Some of the staggering statistics. Wow. Trivia question in the chat. Are men victims of domestic violence? Put your answer in the chat. What do you think? These are very interesting to me. 1 in 3 women have experienced physical violence by an intimate partner. And then, oh my goodness, Susan, talk about this one. Pregnant women, it went away. I can't get it back. Uh-oh, let me see. I went too fast on it. Let me go back. Okay. 1 in 3 women have experienced physical violence by an intimate partner. And then this is the one, I don't know. There it is. A leading cause of death among pregnant women by homicide by an intimate partner. Wow. Wow. I can see that. I can see that happening. Yeah.
Yeah, we do. Yes. And it's also 1 in 4 men have experienced domestic violence as well. So yeah, it does affect gender, all genders, all socioeconomic backgrounds, all, you know, racial backgrounds. It unfortunately doesn't discriminate. And and also children are exposed to it, which can also perpetuate the cycle. So,
yeah, pregnant women are so vulnerable. I am a doula, a birth doula. So that is very enlightening for me to see and something to look out for when I'm taking care of pregnant women.
Yeah. Well, I think too, it goes to how the abuser, you know, like they may feel like they're out of, they're, you know, they can't control this pregnancy. They feel, so they're trying, they take it out, or it, you know, sometimes it triggers things in the abuser. And we see that it escalate oftentimes during pregnancy, unfortunately.
Okay. Some red flags. I like these. Damaging your self-confidence and your self-worth. Mm-hmm. Excessive jealousy and possessiveness. Controlling household finances without your input. Mm-hmm. Won't take no for an answer. Destructive temper. Intimidating mm-hmm. using fear and threats. All right. Unhealthy versus healthy relationships. Using emotional abuse versus respect. Minimizing, denying, and blaming. Honesty and accountability. Using children. Have you seen that one a lot, Sarah? People using children?
They will. They'll use it as a reason to stay. And then, you know, or they'll make them feel like they're a bad parent. You know, they'll, you know, because if they have all the finances, when, you know, like, you know, they can say, oh, I'll take your kids away. So, yeah. Okay. So it's, yeah, it is a part of it.
Okay. Yeah. That's so sad. What can victims do? All right. Now, here's the meat and potatoes right here, Sarah. I really like this.
Yeah.
Prepare a safe room. Oh my goodness. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So this is, so if people, you know, I would recommend anyone that is going through any kind of domestic violence situation to call, if not your local state line, the national hotline, because these are all safety planning tips. And so these are some of the things that if you're safety planning, people will tell you. So, you know, having doors that locks, you know, kind of like mentally making a plan of how you can stay safe and, you know, A lot of people sometimes aren't ready to leave, but like, you know, mentally preparing, kind of thinking what you should gather, you know, if especially if it's escalating, especially if you're feeling more and more unsafe, because there is a, that's, I didn't put a slide in here about the cycle, you know, because something will happen that's bad. And then they'll be like a honeymoon, like, oh, I'm sorry, this will never happen again. I'm going to change. And then it will get worse. And then it will begin again. So anyways, after an incident, or if, you know, sometimes that might spur people to kind of think about these things. So these are just things that if someone was calling the hotline to safety plan, you know, someone might talk to them about, you know, to, you know, where is a safe place for you to go if you need to, you know, finding where could you go if something happens. Mm-hmm. Sometimes family and friends are a good option. They might not be. It depends, right, you know, what kind of the relationship is. And so yeah. And then, yeah, start talking to people, making sure too, I think that you have like documents, IDs, that kind of paperwork. You can leave without it. You can just leave with the clothes on your back, but some of these other items can be helpful if you have the time to get them together.
Okay. That's good advice. I like the safe room. I really like that. And start talking to people, arrange a signal, keep spare car keys, cab fare in a safe room. Okay. Mm-hmm. Those are good things to think about. Have some shelters in mind. Take photos of your injuries. Keep a journal, make sure it's hidden. That's a scary one, but I can definitely understand that. Okay. And what can we do? So this is about us now as family members, friends, and it's so easy to say, why don't you just leave? You know, you should just leave. It's so easy to say that. But some of the things we want to do, listen without judgment. I like that.
Yeah. It's so true.
Statements. Yeah. You want to help. It's so many news articles I've been reading and experience for, you know, people wanting to help, but end up, you know, the abuser may say, if you get some help, or if you tell anybody, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill your mom, your children, things like that, I'm going to make you lose your job. You know, it's so many different factors that go into that. And the victim is so, she's thinking of everyone else. He or she is thinking of everyone else. They don't want to pull anybody else into it, you know? Mm-hmm. So usually they'll suffer in silence. So yeah.
That's true. And, you know, they say it takes an average of 7 times before someone's actually ready to leave. And so yeah, and it can be, if you're the friend or the confidant listening to it, it can feel like, oh, you know, I'm hearing this again, you know, but it's really important to listen, to let them know there are people out there that can help them, that they're not alone, you know, and that it's their decision. It's up to them. They have to do what's right for them in that moment, but that there are people that care about them and that, you know, there are resources out there.
Okay. One of the things I did read in an article not too long ago is that a lady was running out of her home and two brothers came out of a home and they confronted, I guess, the attacker that was coming after her, her husband, and he shot them. He killed both of them. And one of the things I just want to emphasize here is don't try to physically confront that person in the heat of a moment, in the heat of a moment like that. And there was something that happened recently as well in Vegas, I remember, with some other people in an apartment building. You know, have to make sure that you're safe. Mm-hmm. And how can you help? You know, lock the doors. If you let them in the house, lock the doors. You know, maybe hide, get your weapon, but call 911 because you have to protect yourself too. You know, but I would just say, you know, that's one of the things. I know a lot of people may be scared to help. They don't want to get involved, but there are ways to help and be safe about it. That's the whole purpose of this, right?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And, if the abuser has a gun, then the chances of female homicide goes up, like, you know, over 100%, you know, if they're in a domestic violence situation. So so that's really scary. And so in Illinois, we've been trying to advocate for these laws, because there, before there was like that boyfriend loophole, like, oh, you know, they're not married, so we don't have to take the gun away. But really, if someone has an order of protection against them, like, this is something that we've kind of been advocating for, because it kind of, it just makes common sense that, you know, if they have a gun and they have threatened someone, that, you know, maybe they shouldn't have it. So,
okay. And that's surprising about the laws. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad you all are working on that and getting involved. How can we, the audience, get involved?
Well, yeah. So we, so Wings, we have a number of ways for people to get involved. Now we are right now, we're not national right now. We do have plans eventually to expand into Florida and that kind of thing. But right now we are in the Chicago metropolitan area. And so there are a number of ways, you know, like we always, you know, we always need funding. And so that's a big one. We're coming on the holidays. There'll be an opportunity to donate holiday gifts. And we have like Amazon links and that kind of thing. So yeah, there's, but I would also recommend you, whatever your community is, to kind of see who's out there, because there's a lot of good agencies doing a lot of important work locally for you. So, you know, maybe do a little Googling in your area too, if you want something local. But you know, we have volunteer opportunities. We have resale stores if you're in the Chicago area. And the resale stores are really cool because we give the clients we serve gift cards there. And so they can buy their own things. And then when they move out to housing, we let them, like they like can pick out their own furniture and home goods. And we do a for free, and then we deliver them for free. So yeah. So we're always encouraging people to donate and shop, because it goes right to our programming and the survivors.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Sarah. And to wrap it up, in the chat, if everybody can clap it up for Sarah. Thank you, Sarah. You are a super mom handling the children. They want to get back to their pumpkin carving. but we appreciate all of this great information. An escape plan, start thinking about it. You know, if you know someone, family, friends, you know, and they just need somebody to talk to, just, you know, talk to them about that, you know, a safety plan, keeping extra set of car keys, documents somewhere else safe. If they need to go, if they need a confidant, remember when to talk, when not to talk, you know, some things that they may try to keep out of that person's, the other person who's the abuser. So you may not think they're an abuser, and that doesn't matter. If they've told you that they are, you want to be mindful of the conversations you're having. They may have their phone on tracking, conversations merged, all those types of things. So be mindful of that and help whenever you can. Be safe with the help and look to see if there's anything in your area. This is Wings in Chicago and Illinois. They have partnerships with hospitals, with some legal consulting, and all of that's great. So we just appreciate the work that you all are doing. And if you want to shop or donate to Wings, feel free to look them up. I do have their information in the invite that you can easily get, contact them. And Sarah, thank you again for everything. And we're going to end tonight's podcast, and you all have a great night. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.